Let us get to work now. Thank you, Uncle Ted. And now, coming to you live from the Radio Bunker somewhere in Arizona, it's time for the best 90 minutes in digital media, the Article 5 Live. I am JD, your host. So it's 8 p.m. Sunday, August 30th, 2020. 1,319 days into the Trump administration. Only 64 days left until the most important election in the history of the world. So let's get right into it. Now, it was pointed out to me today that's what I said about the last election, okay? And, you know, that may be true. I said that about the last election, and you know what? It was true in the last election as well. But this time is absolutely a whole lot worse. Can you imagine if the Democrats win unified government in November? You think it's bad now? Oh, my goodness. What I want to talk about tonight is truth. You see, reality is being manipulated. What we perceive to be true is being highly manipulated. And there's various different ways to do that, is technology and psychology and, you know, propaganda and all these other things that manipulate how we perceive what's really going on. So let's talk about what a principle is and what the truth is just for a minute. A principle is a concept that withstands all types of assault, including and especially time. So a principle is extremely important. Because of that, it's a thing that can stand on its own. It doesn't need anybody's help or justification. And the truth is the same way. When it comes right down to it, it's not my truth or your truth. We don't get our own version of the truth. The truth stands on its own. It's kind of like, imagine, if you will, a glass container with perfect water in it. Absolutely 100% perfect. Nothing but hydrogen and oxygen molecules. And there's nothing else in there, just pure water. And imagine that being the truth. Then imagine our news media. And they come along, they take the truth. Let's say they take a story and they, you know, they take a kernel of truth, but they don't take the whole truth in many cases. They take a little piece of it and leave out most of it. And then they add a few things that aren't true, and you come up with this concoction. And some people might call that a half-truth, right? Or a partial truth. Well, here's what I think about a partial truth. Go back to the quart glass jar full of pure water, and then take a drop of donkey urine and put it in that pure water. Now what do you have? Do you have the truth still? I don't think so. Now, when it comes to the mainstream media, they're not just putting one drop of donkey urine in that water. They're putting lots of drops of donkey urine in that water, aren't they? And many of you, my friends, know this. So I guess what I'm trying to get across with all this is the truth doesn't need additives. Or better put, it doesn't need to be filtered for you. But yet that is exactly what mainstream media does with the quote unquote truth. You know, plus they do that to principals. And I guess my point of talking about all this in this abstract way is to get back to reality on things. You know, there's really only two genders. That's the truth. If you go back through some of the white papers of some of these institutes that belong to globalist organizations, they show the psychological plan to blend the genders. It's part of a bigger plan of transhumanism, actually. That's what it is. And part of that is, you know, eliminating what we traditionally think of ourselves as, you know, and like the family unit being the cornerstone of civilization and the strength of it, and in our principles that we get a lot largely from the Ten Commandments and the Golden Rule, right? You know, those things stand on their own. They don't need any interpretation. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's no donkey urine in that one, is there? So, as this applies to the media, what's on my mind tonight about that is our news media coverage of the events in Wisconsin. And, you know, there's two sets of them. The one where the guy got tased, he kept moving, he kept going, he looked like he had a knife. Some people say he had one, some people say he didn't. Then he goes in his car against the commands of the police officer to grab something else. Some people said it was a knife, some people say it was a gun. I don't know what the truth is because there's so many stories. And so anybody that says they really know what happened there, you know, they're not telling you. They're just giving you their opinion, okay? And because from what I've seen, we can't actually tell the truth for sure. But more importantly, I want to lead this to what happened a couple nights later, where a 17-year-old kid from another state who is a former police cadet and a medic at 17, finds his way across state lines to assist on protecting businesses in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And one of his friends just happened to have an AR-15 handy for this 17-year-old former police cadet medic. So then he's offering to help injured parties. That's very interesting indeed. And then trouble starts and he gets chased and he gets assaulted and he shoots this one and that one and some gunshots are going off everywhere. And two people end up dead and one person with his arm blown off. Now, these three people just happen to be horrible felons, all three of them. Isn't that interesting? So we're supposed to believe that all these rioters are former felons. Well, maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But we're supposed to believe they all are, I guess, because it is. Then you have the people on the far right holding this kid up, this Kyle kid up as a hero. Well, maybe he is. Maybe he isn't. Seems to me the odds of a 17-year-old kid who is a former police cadet, he's also a medic, goes across state lines to help people protect businesses And somebody just happens to give him an AR-15, and then he happens to get in a gunfight where two people are dead and one person is injured, and they're all felons at his hand. You know, for all these things to line up, what are the odds? All that to be true, even though that's the story we're told, that's what it is. Now, I'm not saying that's not true. But I've read Rules for Radicals, and I smell a Jean provocateur. My French is horrible. But that's what I smell. And I smell manipulation of a boy. Because, you know, what I was doing at 17, I was chasing girls, trying to get loaded, going down to the river, trying to ditch class, trying to have all the fun I could possibly have. And if a riot broke out downtown, chances are I'm going to go as far away from that as I can. And even if not, let's say I believed in the cause at 17, am I going to go across state lines over to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and fight on those people's behalf, even if I have friends over there? The answer is hell no, and I don't know anybody else that would either. So something's weird about this kid is my point. And I think he was manipulated. The only question in my mind is, which side manipulated him? Is he the child of overzealous right-wingers, or are left-wingers setting up circumstances to make it likely that what happened so that riots can be perpetrated further? You know, I don't have the answers. I'm here to raise questions. And I'm going to tell you, I know what the clean, clear truth without the donkey urine is. Because I don't. And if anybody says they do, I would question that. And I guess... we're going to go to break here in a little bit, but before we do, I want to just tell everyone that I don't think that even when you look at the George Floyd case, everyone I know believes that the police officer with the knee in George Floyd's neck is a murderer. I don't know anybody that doesn't believe that. And that may be true. But why is it took us 3 to 4 weeks to get the full video? And why is it that the autopsy of George Floyd says he died of fentanyl? Or a heart attack caused by fentanyl? Or why is it we see that slowed down video with the white fentanyl pill in the guy? And why are all these... the rest of the video comes to light and puts a different context? Now, I'm not saying that the cop didn't do anything wrong. Don't get me wrong. What I am saying is it's manipulation, pure and simple, why we didn't get the full video up front. Because the part of the video that we did get, it makes it almost perfectly clear that that was a murder on the part of that cop. Now, there's other theories abound about this George Floyd business and... but my whole point about bringing all that up is we are being manipulated. Our concept of the truth is being manipulated. Now, are all of us falling for it? Well, I don't know. Probably not. I have questions. It used to be the liberals that say question everything, question authority. Well, now they think, the authority. But authority doesn't have power. They don't have any power we don't give them. Because there's like a teeny tiny amount of them that are the ones in authority, and there's a whole lot of us that don't have any authority. It's not a fair fight if it comes to a fight. Trust me on that. So the authorities, quote unquote, only have the power we give them. And if we don't question it, we're damn fools. Because when people rule people, men and women are not angels. This is why our founders of this great nation tried to limit government's power and also pit the power structure against each other. So there would be tension there to keep from strangling the people's freedoms. So as we go into break, I'm going to play a video for you about this this Kyle business, okay? Kyle Rittenhouse. There's a question of how many people did he actually shoot? So let's go to break, and here's a video for you.
All of these Black Lives Matter Antifa people are really LARPing at the end of the day. Yeah, they may get a little violent. Yeah, they like to destroy some property. Yeah, they're doing some pretty serious stuff with this rioting. But see, the moment you come after them, what do? They cry for mommy. They cry for the police. They don't expect any pushback because they assume since the entire, all of institutions are with them, the sports leagues, the mainstream news, Hollywood, all of it, they assume they have carte blanche. They assume they can go out there and do whatever they want. They assume it's all fine and good. Nobody will push back. Everyone's behind them. And see, when they meet reality, they cry for mommy. And they call the police because at the end of the day, they're just LARPing. That's why they can't even explain anything that they stand for. But it's only going to get worse. Minneapolis rioters loot stores in response to black man committing suicide. Yeah. So now a black person dies and there'll be riots in the streets. And they'll blame white people and they'll blame police. And you say, well, that's crazy. It's already happening. But, you know, I might as well just say this, and I haven't seen this reported anywhere. In fact, it was my producer, Scott, that brought this to my attention. We were just having a little conversation with the crew before the show here, and I think he's right on. Because Kyle Rittenhouse was only charged with one murder. Two were shot dead. One of the men that was shot in the head. You've seen the viral video. They're looking for the hole. There's Scott right there. You didn't realize how smart he was, did you? He didn't even know how smart he was. But he makes a great point. If Kyle Rittenhouse shot the guy in the head, his head would have been blown off. He'd have a massive wound, an exit wound, and his half of his head wouldn't even be there. Folks, someone else shot him in the head. It wasn't Kyle Rittenhouse. And if it was, that's like the new magic bullet. But he's only been charged with one murder. So do the cops already know this? Remember, there were other gunshots fired in this exchange as well. So perhaps it was the other guy that got shot in the arm that shot the guy in the head. Maybe it was one of these other BLM or Antifa people that shot the guy in the head. Is there going to be an investigation into that? Very interesting indeed.
All right, and we're back on Article 5 Live. This is pilot number 3. I'm still geeking around with my technology here, trying to figure my stuff out. So that was a very interesting perspective from our good friend Owen Schroyer on the War Room, bringing you stuff you didn't hear anywhere else, I'm betting. Okay, so what is the truth? Hell, I can't tell you. I don't know. But I can tell you this, we're being manipulated. There's absolutely no question about that. So, you know, what's the purpose of all this riots? What's this purpose of all this coronavirus nonsense? Well, I think the purpose is the same. It's a common purpose. The purpose is to control us. Get us to be a kind of a neo-servitude, neo-serfdom to the elites. The few control billions of people through scaring the hell out of them because of this medical nightmare they created. And what stands in the way of that? Well, individualism, Americana, Donald Trump, the idea of liberty, freedom, the idea that equal opportunity, people can do what they want with their own lives. That stands in the way of what our globalist overlords want. So if they can create riots and break down the cities, if they can remove Donald Trump from office, if they can make us scared to go out of our own houses, so when they release a real harmful virus, they have a chance, don't they? Later on, we're gonna at the half hour break, we're gonna play another video for you. Some good news for a change. The road ahead is rocky, okay? But there are some bright spots. You know, I couldn't bring myself to watch the Democrat convention. It is the first one that I've lost or not watched since 1968. But I did catch enough clips to get the idea. Now, I did watch the Republican convention. And I must say, the Republican convention was choreographed and by a marketing genius. The speeches were the perfect length. The transition from one to the next was flawless. The caliber of people and their testimonies from various different perspectives or why they would be there at the RNC, flawless. Persuasive as hell. If there's anyone that was sitting on the fence and they watched those two conventions, they're not going to go to the left. They're going to go to the Republicans. This is the first Republican convention that I actually liked. And you know, I did watch the video of the Buffalo Springfield song with that very talented young man in the Dracula cape. And, you know, it's never hard to listen to Stephen Stills play the guitar. I got to say that. But the backdrop of the swampy, disgusting green backdrop with the BLM blobs rising up behind the singer. Yo, how is that appealing? Even if you're a big fan of what BLM is up to, okay? What is that? How is that appealing, folks? It sure as hell isn't appealing to me. So, I don't know. I'm going to say one for the good guys when it comes to conventions. We're going to have a lot more commentary on that coming up after the half-hour break. We're going to bring on an old friend, a veteran, to my radio show, Article 5 Hour, bringing to Article 5 Live the pilot number 3. We're going to bring back Mr. Gene Daly via telephone for you. And I hope you do enjoy that. We'll be talking to Gene. We'll be getting him on the phone here in just a few minutes. And I want to say that we thought that Joint Chief of Staff, General Milley, was kind of backing down when, you know, Washington, D.C., the park there was under siege. And he sort of backed off of support for what the president was doing to try to, you know, quell things there in D.C. But he's back. And he's back with a public letter that denounces the Democrats' plan for a military coup. Now, this is not crazy talk. This has already been lined out in the New York Times and the Washington Post and several Politico, I believe. Don't quote me on that. And several other media sources that I can't quite think of right now have come online and said, yes, this is the Democrats' plan, okay? Put it simply, just a hot military coup. Well, they were trying to see who's with them and who isn't with them. So a very interesting thing happened. They found that out. That we have some heroes in the United States military. In fact, most people in the United States military are heroes. And very few are not. So we're going to show you an interesting video on that particular subject, you know, coming right up directly for the half hour break. And we shall return on the other side of this video with Mr. Gene Daly. And I'm sure that you will enjoy that. Enjoy this.
Mainstream media is reporting that the most senior officer in the U.S. Armed Forces says there is no role for the military in the 2020 presidential election. The article reveals that General Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was responding to questions submitted by two members of Congress, Elisa Slotkin of Michigan and Mickey Sherrill of New Jersey, who were apparently recruiting the general's support for a military coup. These two were amongst the first to call for the impeachment of the president last year for investigating Joe Biden's ties to the Ukraine. In a Washington Post op-ed, seven freshman Democrats, all former military and intelligence operatives, claimed to be a group of unified U.S. patriots sworn to save America from Donald Trump. Abigail Spanberger and Elisa Slotkin were featured in headlines 3 years ago. Ex-CIA officers running for Congress as Democrats. The article cited the unfounded Russia hoax as the inspiration for these so-called patriotic CIA operatives to run for office. NBC wrote that these CIA agents were fed up with the president and their new mission was to foil Trump. The move by the CIA to run agents in the 2018 elections came almost immediately after the president ordered devastating bombings of Afghanistan heroin operations, an operation that many believe was run by the CIA. This is not surprising. The CIA has been involved in the international opium market since their inception in 1947, when agency operatives worked with the Italian mafia.
Bring you right in there, Gina.
Heroin profits as CIA funding. Slotkin and Sherrill were not the first to request the U.S. military's assistance in their coup d'etat against President Trump. On August 11th, a lifetime member of the Council on Foreign Relations, along with a former lieutenant colonel of the Army, wrote an open letter to General Milley. Like out of a Philip K. Dick novel, they predicted that Trump was mobilizing a secret army and threatened that General Milley would be guilty of treason if he would not help them remove the president from office. The publication of General Milley's response to these CIA operatives is a sign
of the
American deep state's weakness. They appear to be desperate.
Right on. Hang on after the video.
This is Greg Reese.
Actually bought this. It blocks UHF frequencies.
Snowden and others.
All righty. We're back.
Okay.
And hang on, Gino. Let me get back onto the show here where we are trying to, you know, handle all the engineering into the show at the same time. It's a little distracting, but hang on, Gene. Welcome back to the Article 5 Live. I am J.D. Smalis, your host. And thanks for watching the video. And I knew I forgot something. I forgot to hit record. But anyway. all right. And so there you have it. You know, I hope you realize how manipulated we are being, you know. And so I hope that you enjoy our next guest, who is a veteran of the Article 5 Hour Radio program, even filled in for me a time or two, and you know, a very intrepid man who spent 20 years of his life living in Europe, various different places. He's been in the film business. He's been in Hollywood. He's been a Phoenix police officer in the 70s, right after the annexation of South Phoenix. So he has a very interesting perspective on what's going on with these riots. And we're sure going to get his perspective on Kyle Rittenhouse. Now, Gene and I have not talked about this stuff prior to very much, at least prior to the show. Welcome to the program, Gene.
Well, thanks for having me on with you, buddy. I haven't talked to you in a while.
It's great to hear your voice, sir, and thanks for being with us on Article 5 Live. Now, as you know, like the Buffalo Springfield said, there's something happening here. And what it is ain't exactly clear. Now, stealing that from the Democrat convention, I want to say it's absolutely horrible that what, you know, anybody dies, even a convicted felon, okay?
Yes.
But
I would agree.
If you were listening to the first part of the show, I laid out all the stars that have to align for this 17-year-old prodigy of a kid to be in that place, in that circumstances, with that firearm, with those things happening. What do you suppose, Gene, are the odds that there is not some kind of an external manipulation of that situation?
Oh, I would say they would be very, very straight on odds. It's a good bet.
You think that that's an organic situation there?
I'll tell you what tipped me off. The judge up there that in Kenosha postponed the extradition of the kid back up to Kenosha, Wisconsin. And the ostensible reason was he needed time to find the perfect lawyer for this. And the judge went right along with him.
All right. But it seems to me the circumstances that have to happen for this 17-year-old former police cadet who is a medic to go across state lines to help defend businesses, and a friend, you know, just happens to have a spare AR-15 for him to go out and defend businesses with, and then he gets involved in an altercation with three convicted felons and kills or shoots three of them and supposedly kills two of them, and all this is happenstance. Might be buying it, but I'm not buying it.
I can understand how all the pieces would fit together and give him just the right angle.
Well, we're not. One thing I've learned, particularly when in these times, the media only tells you what they want you to use to form your perception of reality. I.e. the George Floyd case, The full video didn't come out until 3 or 4 weeks after the whole country was on fire. Why do you suppose that is? It's called manipulation, Gene. What do you think?
Well, because they didn't want the truth about George Floyd getting out. He had enough fentanyl in his system and enough meth in his system. That's why he was sitting in the car before any of this started. He was sitting in the car screaming, "I can't breathe." So he was high on two substances, enough to kill him right there.
All true. And my whole point about this is why the reason behind the authorities not disclosing the entire video, because they want to cultivate the narrative, which may or may not be true, but of the police officer being a murderer. And there has to be a reason they want that narrative out there. And the reason is they are trying to cause a race war in this country because they cannot afford another 4 years of Donald J. Trump as president of the United States, because we reelect this president. There's a lot of people that are going to jail, a lot of names that you know.
It's not just that. There's a lot of people up there in that swamp that get kickbacks. And they aren't going to get kickbacks for 4 more years.
I would agree with that as well. Go ahead.
One more thing on Rittenhouse. Did you carefully watch the video? He tripped on an uneven spot in the road and fell. Now, the guy with the skateboard come up, smacked him in the head, and he went up, got up, you know, on his sitting there trying to get up. And that's when the other guys came over. The first one he shot hit him. And he claims the second one that he shot had a pistol. Now, I can't vouch for the pistol because I couldn't see it from the angle. But apparently he says he got it right in the face with that pistol, and then he shot him. So what are these people going to do if he is exonerated?
Yeah. I agree. You know, I don't know, but I know that the kid is going to get off. That's what I think. Because
I think so, yeah.
And that is going to cause more and more intensive riots. And I'm trying to get past the minutiae of, you know, the details of the case and get to the overarching purpose of all of this. Now, I'm not being a conspiracy theorist exactly, but I can't understand why any of this would ever happen organically. It has to be contrived. There has to be a greater purpose, and that is to cause unrest in the United States of America. You know as well as I do.
Let me ask you why you think they closed off the freeway that had X's into the town.
Well, let me ask you this question. I'm going to say that I don't know the answer to that, but here's the thing. I'm looking for to drive the conversation into a place where why are they only giving us part of the truth until the city blows up? And then they'll let us trickle in the other part that would sometimes mitigate the situation. And to me, that is a manipulation with a purpose behind it. And that's the point I'm trying to get at here.
Well, otherwise, why would they have not spoken about it in the DNC convention?
Well, yeah, of course they don't want to bring attention to it because, you know, they've been pulling this crap long enough that they now know that it's hurting their chances of reelection. They know that both sides, both Democrats and Republicans, are concerned about the the rioting going on in various different cities across the United States, and perpetuating it with leaving out certain things in the reports and adding certain things to the reports. And, you know, the nature of their convention that was pro Black Lives Matter, you know, and I know, Gene, that Black Lives Matter is run by highly trained Marxists. That's not me saying that. Those are the people themselves that run Black Lives Matter say they are highly trained Marxists. And the money going into Black Lives Matter is coming through organizations that are funded by none other than George Soros himself.
I agree.
And so one has to question why all this stuff is happening. And then if you go down to the case level, why are we only getting partial videos? And by the way, you said, didn't you see the video where the kid tripped and all that? Of course I did. But I also saw four other videos that aren't being played on normal media. So there's different angles. If you've seen what happened, if you listen to Owen Shore's opinion, you know, if he shot that guy in the head, his head should have been blown off. They couldn't even find the hole in his head. So that suggests that he might have been shot by somebody else other than that kid. So there's a lot of different, you know, aspects to this that aren't adding up, in my view.
Well, I agree, but my question is, how many of those cars parked around there had out-of-state tags on them? Because did you notice that for the next two nights, there was no riots in Portland? I'm saying that Black Lives Matter left Portland, jumped on the freeway, went over there, and started stirring up stuff. And you know what stuff, I mean, they were stirring up.
Well, exactly. And so I think we've definitely established that Black Lives Matter, at least the leadership of Black Lives Matter, is a anarchist, you know, radical organization that is has the purpose of, you know, destabilizing these cities.
Well, may I bring up George Soros, because he made his money off the Nazis right at the end of World War II. And for a few months or a couple of years or 3 years, however it was, however long it was, he was buying money or buying properties. And that's where he made his money. So he's not against a little race war or against a little class war or against any type of war. He'll just jump on the poor side and say, hey, I got some money for you. Let's have that property deed.
Well, yeah. You know, Gene, let's go back to your experience as a police officer in the city of Phoenix years ago. I know it was a long time ago, but but the times were quite different back then, and police officers could actually uphold the law and do what they needed to do without a whole lot of nonsense going on about it. And you guys on the Phoenix Police PD whipped that newly annexed area into shape in pretty short order. I would say within 3 to 5 years, South Phoenix was a lot safer. Go ahead.
All right. Before the annexation, the entire area down there, and including the farmlands, was covered by three deputies. So let's suppose that one of the deputies had a problem down by South Mountain Park. The other deputy is on the west side of the south end of Phoenix, and he's on a call. That only leaves one guy to cover the area. We had five guys assigned to the area, and around that area, we had another 15 guys, and I was the fight car. So what we did was, is when the officer went out on a call at a knifing, a shooting, an armed robbery, a bar fight, family fight, I would start heading his way. because I didn't have a beat. All I got to do is protect him. So I slide in behind him and wait until trouble starts. Once trouble starts, it's my job to, shall we say, quiet the trouble. And that means taking him away. And usually, we didn't charge him with heavy duty, you know, felonies. We charge him with disturbing the peace by loud and ugly noise or whatever. I did this up at County Hospital, 24th Street and Roosevelt, one time. And the police chief was there behind me to back me up. And when I got in there, I found this guy who they'd called on with a rifle and raising cane. And I said, why, what's the problem? He said, they won't let me through those doors. They've got those doors locked and I can't see my son. And I said, all right, if I make this deal that I promise you that door will open, if you hand me that rifle, what happens? He says, the door opens. If I even hear the slightest turn of that thing, I'll turn around and hand you the rifle. Fair enough. So I told him to open the door. And sure enough, they did. Turns out his son was in a car wreck, a passenger in a car wreck. And all he wanted to do was make sure his son was okay. Now, I've already got the rifle. So I tell him, okay, now you're coming with me. I put the rifle in my back trunk. Put him in the passenger, the suspect seat in the back, drove him over to the jail and broke him or booked him on disturbing the peace. He was out the next day, but he hadn't pointed that gun at anyone. He was raising hell. And by doing this, and once in a while, when the guy wouldn't make sense, wouldn't cooperate, wouldn't play games, I'd have to take him down and put him unconscious. And that was my job. And I was good at it. I could put a guy out in at least less than a minute, if not substantially.
Yeah. And that's a great story, Gene. And we live in a different world now where they ruined the job of police officer because now, no matter what you do, it's not going to be perceived as the right move. Whether you had the right to do it as a police officer or not, there are going to be negative press. One way, no matter what you do, if you do nothing, you're in trouble. If you react, you're in trouble. And if you overreact, you're certainly in trouble. You can't be a cop now. And this is what the purpose is. They want all good people to cease being police officers. So guess what? They can put their people in as police officers. And if you think we had problems now, you wait till that happens. Let's take a break. Let's watch this video and we'll come back and finish up with Mr. Gene Daly here on Article 5 Live. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a minute and let me figure out what the heck I'm doing and play this video for you. We'll be right back.
Understand what's going on around you. You are in a state of war, and you have precious little time to save yourself. It's a slow process, which we call active measures. The first stage being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. The next stage is destabilization. What matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. The next stage is crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, period of normalization. This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all the schmucks to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfilled or not. The time bomb is ticking. But every second, the disaster is coming closer and closer. The danger is real.
All right. How about that? Well, Gene, I want to say we'll move the discussion to what's going on with the New World Order and why they want Trump out and coronavirus and how riding coronavirus and the New World Order and the election fraud and the Democrat knuckleheads, how is all that stuff tied together in a couple sentences? Gene Daly.
All right. China put down all flights to any other part of China. They let all flights going international go. So what was their reason for holding off on any other flights to any other city in China? You and I both know they didn't want it spread. They didn't tell us about it, but they knew about it. Now, this China virus or coronavirus, COVID, whatever you want to call it, the real name of it starts with a version of SARS. So we're back to stage one. And I personally never got it the feeling to trust George H.W. Now, George W., okay. But the first guy to use New World Order was George H.W. And that scared me to the bone. Are you there with me, JD? Are you there, JD?
I'm here. I turned my mic off, and I just went through a wonderful rant. You didn't get to hear any of it, dude.
Neither did anyone else.
No, nobody heard that. See, you know, this engineering business while you're running a show is a little bit more difficult than I thought it was going to be. But anyhow, I said, Gene, you got to realize that they've been doing this to us. Just read the white papers from the Rockefeller Institute, the CFR, the Trilateral Commission. I know I sound like I'm a faithful follower of Brother John Birch here, but damn it, the Birches were right about a lot of stuff. And when it comes to globalism, they had it pegged way back when, okay? And these things are in our face right now, man, and there's no denying it. What say you?
The last guy I trusted in that office before President Trump. And if you notice, none of the opinion spouters on any of the networks ever call him President Trump. And I'm upset about that because the proper address is President Trump and then whatever. But the last guy I trusted in there was Ronald Reagan. And I'll tell you why. I met him because they used to send me, because of some abilities that I had, out to the airport to meet the VIPs. I usually stood two or three yards away from them and just watched to make sure everything went smoothly. But President Reagan, he wasn't then, called me over and I said, yes, Governor, how can I help you? And he said, well, first of all, drop the governor. I'm just an out-of-work actor looking for my next gig. From then on in, I knew he was a right kind of guy.
Right. And, you know, I trusted Ronald Reagan as president of the United States, too. He was not part of the global cabal. And, exactly, you know,
the same way with Trump.
Neither was John Kennedy, by the way. And one could argue that's why he didn't get to finish his first term.
I would agree with that.
All right. So you had a real president in President John F. Kennedy shot. You had a real president in Ronald Reagan who wasn't shot, but he was handcuffed throughout his 8 years because he was hobbled by the connections that were had by his VP, who is tied in with the globalists as tied in as you get.
CIA.
Not only has he been in the CIA, but what I like to call the Bush-Romney cabal that goes back to the 1960s with George Romney and the Bush family and the Romney family had a virtual stranglehold on the Republican Party for decades and decades. Now, if you fast forward through Reagan and through all the, you know, the Clinton nonsense and the, you know, George W. Bush, to me, he was part of the same thing, a little bit more, you know, what I would call a benevolent globalist, but a globalist nonetheless, okay? And, you know, perpetual wars is not what I want either. So there you have that.
Remember President Eisenhower?
I do.
He said in his last speech, be careful with the military-industrial complex because they feed each other. The military needs a new weapon. The industrial complex provides it.
Absolutely. And the part of that speech that people forget, too, is he's warning us about the Operation Mockingbird, you know, to put it bluntly. He does the information war and the perception of reality, which has been a recurring theme in this broadcast, because he who, holds the media, holds the power. You know, because they have the megaphone. The only reason we have any semblance of freedom left at all in the United States of America is a thing called the internet. They would have completely, restricted everything we know as a way of life of Americans if we didn't have the internet. Now, anyone can document current events with their phone. So that makes all of us citizen reporters. And furthermore, we have a duty to do that because the people that call themselves reporters are nothing but propagandists and agenda pushers of the New World Order. Finish her up, Gene.
I think Rittenhouse is going to be exonerated on the grounds of self-defense.
I agree. And when that happens, expect nearly every city and town in this United States to erupt in riots.
Great. That's why I wanted to finish it there.
And I want to say this. I'll take it one step further before we let you go, Gene. I believe that is the purpose of all this. That's why I am suspect that it's not an organic occurrence. In some way, that kid was manipulated into that situation, and I just can't tell you which side did it, but I would suspect it's from the left, and it's a Jean provocateur, because why else would that perfect situation for him to exhibit all of his gun skills and take out some scumbags. Of course, the right is going to jump on that and say he did the right thing and call him a hero. That's a given. And then the left is going to jump on and say he's murdering people with AR-15s. You guys want a war, you got one. I mean, you heard the screaming idiot on YouTube. It went viral to know what I'm talking about. So, you know, if it's organic, it sure is fortunate for the left. Go ahead.
Well, I think we summed it up pretty well. The only other thing is we do need to keep an eye on license plates traveling from one area to the other, because that's an easy federal law to snag them on, crossing state lines in the completion of a crime.
Which brings me to one more question before I let you go. Why do you suppose that it is that President Trump hasn't used the FBI and federal law enforcement to knock the crap out of these Antifa pieces of crap and these BLM pieces of crap, because many of them are coming from out of state and they are perpetuating and fomenting riots in a state which makes it a federal issue? Why are we not taking federal action, Gene Daly?
Because they won't allow him to do that quietly. He would have to invoke the Insurrection Act. And if you look at that carefully, that's going to turn the actual army loose on bad guys. And that's not been done since the 1860s. Well, Pershing did it a couple of times, but, you know, Pershing was Pershing. MacArthur worked for him. Eisenhower worked for him.
That's right, Gene. And you know what? I want to thank you so much for helping me out with this pilot number 3 on Article 5 Live here and all these multimedia things. Thank you so much for being with us. We're going to go into chat after this short intermission. If anybody wants to talk on Article 5 Live, Gene Daly, take care, my good friend.
Thank you, my friend, and thanks for having me on tonight with you.
All right. We'll take care. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Up there for you. Kid was well trained. And thank you, Uncle Ted, for bringing us into the chat section. I hope any of you that are still around wish to chat with me here, you guys. Earlier, we had a few people. Go ahead and put your comments about the show. Earlier, we had Robert Dickinson. This kid is well trained in firearms. In fact, I'll just put it up there for you. That kid was well trained in firearms. He neutralized 3 targets that tried to take him out. Then he secured his weapon, called and told his people what he did, then offered to help those he shot. There are a few gun owners that could have pulled this off. I agree with that, Robert, very much so. And I got to say that the stars aligned perfect for that particular kid to be in that particular place, and he will be exonerated, and that will cause utter mayhem. And I just don't think that those circumstances are all accidental. That's my personal opinion. He was manipulated into that situation. Why do we have 17-year-olds guarding businesses? Don't we have any men willing to do it? Now, he's a man at 17 by his actions, but what I'm saying is it seems odd to me. There's too many odd things about this. It's too convenient because we all know that he's going to be exonerated, and we all know what the end result of that's going to be. So I have reserved judgment of who I think is behind the manipulation, but I am convinced there is manipulation in this case. My opinion, I don't know what else. And Marissa Bishop was on earlier. I don't know if she's still there. I need to get you an Antifa thumper. Yeah, she has. I don't know. Marissa, did you... did you buy those yet? That it would be interesting. So Robert says, if a 17-year-old can do this, imagine what will happen when trained combat vets come out to play. Well, indeed. And, you know, men of good sense don't want that to happen. But the left wants that to happen. They absolutely want a civil war. I really don't have any idea what the actual advantage of that is. I know what their perceived advantage of that is. They think that if they tear down our country, they're perfectly happy to rule over the ruins. And, but you know, this doesn't end well for anybody. You get trained veterans out there taking care of business. You know, a lot of people are going to die. So, you know, although I agree 100% with you, Robert Dickinson, I don't think it's a good thing. What we should do is have a, what I would like to see happen is I would like to see people start using common sense and common decency. Now, I don't know if you all heard about this. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but C-SPAN, as you know, has a call in line for Republicans, Democrats, and Independents. They've been doing it that way for, you know, 30 years that I know of. That's what they called it. There's the Republican line, Democrat line, and an Independent line. And they're asking people to call in on a specific line. So they ask the Democrat to call in the Democrat line. And every single one in succession that they had call in the Democrat line. Yeah, I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm voting for Trump. And they presented, you know, various different reasons for it, various different kinds of people, various different time that Trump's been in office that they decided this. And at one time, at one point, the moderator said, well, you called into the Democratic line, but you don't have anything good to say about Democrats. And of course, said, that's right, I don't. And I'm not going to Democrat anymore. I'm a Republican now. So guess what they did? They changed the name of the call-in lines to supports Trump, supports Biden, supports neither. After 30 years of doing it a certain way. So, I don't know how indicative that is of where we're at. But I kind of think that the Democrats are in far much more trouble than the news media would have you believe or the pollsters would have you believe because of the way they ask the loaded questions. And Robert says, Robert's chatting with me. How about the rest of you out there? I wrote about this in 2017, my op-ed in the New Civil War Begins. I just released my report of this op-ed. If we do not stop this soon, it will be too late and we'll have no choice. I agree 100%. And I think that is 100% unfortunate because people are suffering right now from what's known as the groupthink and or herd mentality. And an incident sparks this off and people react and they only look at layer one. They don't go to layer two, three, four, five to find out what's behind all of this stuff. And this is so, so, so critical to do this. Because you absolutely must. If you are to actually have the appropriate response to a current event, you need to give the event time to show itself, if you will, because you're getting a lot of donkey urine in your water when it comes to these media. You're not getting the truth. You're getting tainted truth at best. Sometimes you're getting outright fabrication from these jerks. So thank God for the internet, literally. Thank God for Donald J. Trump. Thank God for the people who saw through all the garbage and voted for Trump. Thank God for the people that support him still. Because planet Earth without the United States of America doesn't have any hope, my good friends. You know it, and I know it. So that is, you know, what I think about that. How can we get your op-ed, Robert? Can you give us a link or something? Put it out there. We'd all love to hear, to read what you had to say about that. Our education system has indoctrinated the youth, the young people into Marxism. The hate for America is out of control. These are young people that will never protect our country. Well, I agree with part of that. I would say never is a mighty strong word because many youths, many of us are wrong when we're young and we grow out of that eventually and see things differently, particularly those who are politically active as, you know, young people that aren't family oriented. But a funny thing happens to somebody when they have kids. Many times their belief system gets set on its head as far as Marxism and these kinds of things are concerned. And they start thinking of things in a different light. Now, I think no one's hopeless. No matter how much indoctrination they've been fed over the decades, everyone's reachable. It just takes the right person to reach the right person. So I don't ever give up on anybody. But I can tell you what, if these creeps come to take to do harm to my family, I'm going to have to take care of business. And that's what I'm afraid is going to happen before we can reach more people and stop the madness. These people are utterly convinced that you and I are racist. And let's talk about racism for just a minute. Let's talk about racism during racism versus prejudice. But I'm gonna put Robert's rather long chat up here for and read it because we are doing a podcast and the video isn't going to the podcast. So Robert Dickinson writes, "I wrote this op-ed in 2017. I hoped I would be wrong. This is the reboot of that op-ed. What we see today are uneducated, indoctrinated, American-hating young people. They all seem to want war, and they do not know. And what they do not know is when that day comes, they're going to have a very bad day. And when it is all over, they will never want to be that unhappy again. If we as American-loving patriots do not stop this now, there will come a time when it will be too late. Please share this." And my op-ed reboo is all I got. I think you ran out of room with your chat, sir. So if you want to finish that and give us a link for your chat, I'd be happy to post that. You know, for those that can't see all the aggregated chat, Robert. You know, we have Facebook and Periscope going as well. Okay. So you're coming through on Facebook. But so other Facebook can see it, but the people watching on Periscope and YouTube can't. So that's why I put it on the screen. And so what I was saying about prejudice versus racism, okay? Now, if you're an individual that hates somebody because of their skin color, I'm going to say right up front, you're an idiot. I don't give a crap whether you're left, you're right, you're not political. If you hate somebody because of their skin color, you are a freaking idiot, okay? With no clue about anything. And you got to shut up and let people that have a mind that they're able to use to discuss this subject. Let's talk about the difference between prejudice and racism. Every human being on the face of the earth is prejudiced. Prejudice has nothing to do with racism. prejudice is something that all of us have because it's part of the fight or flight mechanism in the human being. You look at a situation and you judge whether it's dangerous or not dangerous or desirable or not desirable based on your prejudices. Everybody does this. And if you see, let me use the example of, let's say, a white dude like me seeing a bunch of black dudes with their pants hanging off their ass in the inner city, hanging around a street corner. Am I going to walk around them or am I going to be smart and not be there in the first place? You know, whatever. But my prejudice causes me to even ask you that question, right? I'm not a racist. I don't give a damn that those guys are black. I'm looking at their actions. The way they wear their clothes tells you a lot about their personalities. Then nothing about that is desirable to me. I don't want to be around anybody that dresses like that just because who shows their ass all the time? Who thinks that people want to see their ass? You know, that doesn't make any sense to me. And that's a cultural thing. That's not a racial thing. Now, race and culture are sometimes tied together, aren't they? Loosely, at least. I mean, the vast majority of people that wear their pants hanging off their butts are urbanite-type people. And they're mostly not white people, although there's plenty of white people that are trying to act like other people that aren't white, okay? But it's a cultural thing, not a racial thing. And because I don't like that culture does not make me a racist. Am I prejudiced against that type of culture? Yes, I am. Because who in the hell, what kind of an individual wants to show their ass to everyone and think that's a good thing to do? So now this really has very little to do with skin color. Racism is the ultimate lowest form of ignorance. It's ignorance and it's hate and it's stupid. And anybody that hates another person because of ethnicity they are an absolute jackass piece of crap. Bottom line, you know, I grew up out here in East Mesa. Actually, I grew up in the 1960s when I was a little kid in a little town south of Seattle, Maple Valley, Washington. You know, there was no thought of my mind that, you know, about race, really. My oldest sister dated a black dude. And, you know, in 1970 or something like that. And, you know, he was cool. I loved this guy. He came to pick my sister up and he took me with him. And then I went and actually saw the movie MASH with him. Oh, and they were on a date. I really liked the guy. He was awesome. And he rode a Harley too. He was really cool. Black dude named Walter. I don't know whatever happened to Walter. He's around for a little while and he wasn't. But the point is, there was no, you know, racial tension. Even in Seattle in them years, it was really calm compared to everywhere else back in that time. So fast forward, I come down here to the Valley of the Sun, went to junior high school. We had one black dude. Everybody loved him. He was built like a Greek god. He was a football star. He was a hell of an athlete. His name was Tony. Everybody loved Tony. He was a very smart, soft-spoken guy. I never heard a bad word about him from anybody, whether they were, you know, Hispanic or white or whatever. Everybody loved Tony. So I have a weird perspective, I guess, when it comes to these kinds of things. I think people that are racist are stupid. I really think racism is really, really ignorant. Because if I judge somebody, I judge them on what they're doing with themselves, on their actions, not what their skin color is. So if you're a stupid person out there burning buildings, flipping cars, and screaming, "I hate whitey," it ain't your color I hate. It ain't your ethnicity I hate. It ain't anything. I don't hate anything about it. What I don't like is your behavior. You're being a criminal. That's what's important. What do you do with yourself? This is the key. Not what color you are, what country your ancestors of six generations ago came from, or for what reason even. That has nothing to do with anything. What are you doing with your life? Are you being a jackass? Are you hurting people? Are you killing people? Are you burning cars? That's what's important. So cut the crap with the racist garbage, you idiots. Go by what people do with themselves, whether you want to condemn them or not. I mean, if we all would just obey the golden rule, do unto others as you have them do unto the short version, as you would have them do unto you, all this goes away in a puff of smoke, and we all end up trying to help each other, which is what we should be doing. What the hell's wrong with you guys? If I change one person's mind, then all this is worth it. If I get one person to think before they act and they start looking at things in a logical manner instead of this crazy crap that's happening in this world, then all the effort to do a broadcast is worth it. Robert has given us the link to his op-ed, and there it is. For those of you that are listening, you can catch the link because it's quite lengthy. I'm going to go ahead and let you. How can I get that to podcast people? I don't think you want to copy it. It's very lengthy. So here's what we'll do for podcasters. If you want Robert Dickinson's link to his article we were talking about earlier, you can go to the YouTube channel, and the timestamp on the broadcast would be, 1:26, 1 hour, 26 minutes. At 1 hour, 26 minutes, you'll find the link posted for Robert Dickinson's op-ed that we were talking about on the YouTube channel, Article 5 Live YouTube channel. For you podcasters. So you can go there and pick that up. Everybody else can see it there. I'll leave it posted for a little while longer. Thank you for your contribution, Robert. We have to get together. I want to just take a minute to thank everyone for listening. I also want to tell you that next week we have a great special guest on this show. I don't want you to miss it. Be a good engineer and send out pre-broadcast notifications so more people, will be inclined to join the broadcast when it's live, because this is always going to be a live show as long as I can do it live. Our special guest next week is none other than Tom Morrissey. Now, those of you who don't know who Tom Morrissey is, he is a modern-day Renaissance man. He has been a film director, a producer, an actor. He's a songwriter. He's a musician in two, popular bands. He was 20 years a federal marshal. So he's been in law enforcement. He was the chief deputy federal marshal at the end of his tenure doing that. Tom Morrissey is also good friends with none other than Ted Nugent, which is how I got to know him. And Tom is also the mayor of Payson, Arizona, and he just got reelected for a second term. He's over there shaking up the mini deep state there in Payson, Arizona. you know, the local corruption. He's handing them their hat. A little cowboy town, Payson, Arizona. Wonderful place. Tom Morrissey is the going to start his second term as mayor of that great little town. And he joins us here on Article 5 Live next week on our first show that's not actually a pilot show. This is really the third pilot. I'm still, you know, working out lots of details and, you know, trying to improve the broadcast as I go along because I normally I did 5 years of radio and I didn't have to do all the work. And now I am doing an audio and video presentation live on the internet and doing all the engineering. And it's challenging and it's not going to be that smooth until I figure out how to be more, you know, efficient at it. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for your listenership and your viewership on Article 5 Live. I promise you we're going to get better and better. And hopefully we'll have lots of good time together in this time slot. 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, every Sunday night on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, and Podbean Live. So, with that, I would like to thank all of you once again. And this is your humble host, JD, from somewhere, not in the universe, somewhere in Arizona with Article 5 Live. And I guarantee you, God willing, and the riots don't take us out, I'll be back next week, same time. Thanks a lot. We'll see you later. All righty. Good evening, folks.